One of the last routes for Iraqis to leave their country has closed. Syria has imposed new visa restrictions, effectively cutting off entry for Iraqis. Syria has taken in more Iraqi refugees than any other country, more than 30,000 a month. But the cost has been enormous, and the welcome is now worn thin, as NPR's Deborah Amos reports from Damascus.
These cannon booms across the Syrian capital signal the start of Ramadan, a month when Muslims fast during the day and feast after sundown. It's a month when the rich feed the poor, a time to reflect on charity and compassion. But charity and compassion are strained in Syria. How to cope with more than 1.5 million Iraqi refugees? The strain is evident in the stories that Iraqis and Syrians tell. Arabesque, one of the most popular new radio stations in Damascus, has thousands of listeners to a morning call-in show. In this security state, Syrians don't often express controversial opinions, but Lina Shawaf, the station's director, recalls a recent morning when the talk turned to the refugees.
All the people want to talk. We had enough. We don't want, you know. It's not good for Syrian people.
Reem Alef, a Syrian political analyst, says pressure has been building over the past year.
We're talking about inflation, an increase in rentals and in real estate, an increase in the price of most things, overcrowding in schools. Overall, they realize that it has affected them adversely.
Some Syrians take advantage of the refugees, says Alef, hiking prices for customers who speak with a distinctive Iraqi accent.
We hear a lot of complaints about taxi drivers who prefer to pick up Iraqi passengers, leaving the Syrian passengers because they know they can overcharge the Iraqis.
At this United Nations Refugee Processing Center, there are so many in line, it can take 6 months to get an appointment. Syrian taxi drivers outside call out the names of the overcrowded neighborhoods Iraqis now call home. Iraqis also complain about rising prices, bitter about their treatment here. But they know there's a saying in Damascus, Iraqi bones are made of gold. Many of the early arrivals came with money, wealthy Saddam loyalists who fueled a boom in the economy here. However, the latest wave of refugees is nearly out of money, gradually moving to smaller rooms and rougher neighborhoods. Rebecca Jobin, an American, lives in this apartment building with her Iraqi husband and their daughter. She says the neighborhood has changed as other Iraqis moved in. A lot of Iraqis.
Our whole building is actually Iraqi now, practically. You know, and it's 20 people in each room. They're all, you see, it's economic desperation, yeah.
Her husband, Munkith Saeed, is an Iraqi artist. His sculpture is displayed in a gallery in the front room. The themes reflect his life, an Iraqi exile for 30 years. He was finally able to get other members of his family out of Baghdad, but the reunion was unsettling.
For example, I have it's very bad experience with my brothers. You know, chantage?
Blackmail.
A blackmail.
From your own brothers?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody thought I'm rich.
Survival is the preoccupation of these refugees. Living next door to them, Jobin has complaints.
Kids are out so late at night. I can't imagine having my child run in the street. But again, because they had no freedom there, all of a sudden the mothers want to give freedom to them here. Our building is just a mess now.
These alleyways are soccer fields with teams of Iraqi children who do not go to school. Many parents are too poor to send them or have to send them to work instead. The hard feelings go both ways, says Nazar, an Iraqi filmmaker from Baghdad who does not give his last name.
Well, I don't hate Syrians, but I prefer to stay away from problems. In a country like Syria, like it's a security state, you know? So you just guess that everybody work for intelligence, even they don't work.
Nazar lives in an old Damascus apartment, high ceilings and a courtyard fountain. Syria allows refugees to live wherever they want, and that's made contacts more personal, says Nazar.
When you're talking about 1.5 million person in one country came in 3 years, I mean, it could not happen in any country in the world. This huge increase, it's crazy.
Deborah Amos, NPR News, Damascus.